since I mentioned yesterday the Simanim of Rosh Hashanah, so if you have the Mishnah Berurah in front of you, you look at Siman Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, and that Siman, the Shulchan Aruch actually relates to the concept of Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, it's entitled Dvarim Shenagim Lecha B'Lev Rosh Hashanah, that which is the practice to eat on the night of Rosh Hashanah. And you have here a number of seifim that I mentioned. What I'm going to do is just discuss some of the highlights. First we'll read the Mechaber in Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, and then we'll make a few comments about this halacha. The Mechaber writes, Yehi Adam Ragil Lechol B'Rosh Hashanah. A person should be accustomed to eating on Rosh Hashanah Rubya, Dahin Tilton, Karte, Silka, Tamri Kra, Ushayocha Rubya. When a person eats these items, one recites a short tefillah, Yomai Hiratzon Sheyirbu Zchiyotenu, that our merit should increase. Karte, Yikarte Soneinu, our enemy should be cut off. Silka, Yistalko Aveinu, our enemy should be essentially eliminated. Tamri Yitamu Soneinu, Kro Yikorak Zardinenu, Vikul Fanecha Zchiyotenu. The Rama adds, Hagah, and it was actually sung yesterday, V'yesh Nogin Lechol, maybe it was Friday night, Tapuach Matok Midvash. Ashkenazim have a practice to eat the apple with the honey. V'yomrim Gam Kein Tizchadesh Aleinu Shana Metuka. V'chei Nogin. It's an Ashkenazi practice, not a Sephardi practice. V'yesh Ochlim Rimonim. Ashkenazim also eat Rimonim, which are pomegranates. V'yomrim that we should have many schuyot kirimon, and v'nogim lechol basar shamein v'chol menei mitika. This I discussed for those who were at the shir yesterday. I spoke about this question, about eating meat, fatty meat in Rosh Hashanah. I said that the subject of the big machlokes is among the Rishonim, Tin Mordechai, and Rashi, and other Rishonim who discussed this matter. I also mentioned for those who were there, for those who weren't there, the Magid Meisharim and the Beis Yosef, who also advised the Beis Yosef not to eat basar shamein, fatty meat, on Rosh Hashanah. Let's just read one more halacha in Beis, where the Mechaber says, Ochlim Rosh Keves, Lo Maniya Le Rosh Velo Le Zonov, Bezeichel Eilo Shal Yitzhak. The meaning is to eat the head of a keves, of a sheep, and to say, this pasuk in Chumash, Niya Le Rosh Velo Le Zonov, we should be at the head and not at the tail, and also a remembrance of the Isle of Yitzhak. And then Ramah adds the following comment, Yesh bedaktikim shelo lechol agozim, not to eat nuts in Rosh Hashanah. She'egos b'gavachi yachet. This is a very famous Ramah, that egos, take a look at the word egos, Aleph Gimel Vav Zayin, and the gematria of it is chet. And of course, right away the question arises, take a look at the word egos. Aleph is 1, Gimel is 3, that's 4, and Vav is 6, that's 10, and the Zayin is 17. And of course, chet is 8, and 9 is 17, and 1 is 18. And the answer? Without the Aleph. Without the Aleph, you have Chet. That's one approach. There are different approaches to understanding this Ramah. I'm not going to get into it right now because those who are familiar with the Perish HaLaTorah of the Balaturim, he does this all the time. My father, Vashalom, was very into the Balaturim. And there are a number of Klolim that I could like to know. Maybe one day, Blinader, we can speak about some of the Klolim of the Balaturim that relate to how he deals with Gematrius. But whatever the case is, the Ramos says not to eat egozim because egoz v'gematria chet. What's exactly the nature of this? Again, we try to apparently avoid on Yom Kippur any mention of chet. This, by the way, is one of the answers to the question I posed yesterday to you, if you remember, why we don't say vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Vidui said on Yom Kippur, but not on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? So we have in halacha a number of different references to not mentioning any notion of chet, and this is one of them, the one mentioned here by the Ramah, not to eat egozim, which is a v'gamachi chet. Why exactly are we doing this? Apparently, the reason is because we somehow do not want to be ma'orei chet on Rosh Hashanah and the Yom HaDin, in order that Hashem should be kind to us, He should not prosecute us. You have also a similar concept, even though it's somewhat different. There is no concept of Shabbos Mevarchim when it comes to Elul. Why not? What's the reason over there? That's mentioned by the Poskim. Why don't we have a Shabbos Mevarchim in Chodesh Elul? The answer is, in order, what? To confound whom? The Satan. So you should realize that Elul is around the corner, and Hashem is about to sit on the Kisei Adin. And of course, all this is rather difficult. I said a shiur about this many years ago, because it seems that the Satan by now should have his calendar straightened out and should know when Chodesh Elul is about to come. And so, what exactly is the nature of this kind of behavior? It needs a shiur as well. So far, there are two shiur that I have to give on this particular matter. But all this is simply part of the simanim of Rosh Hashanah. I read further, just want to finish the Ramah. Ramah says, V'od she'imar bim kicha v'niya u'mevat lama tefila. Person eats nuts, so a person is going to develop a lot of saliva, a lot of spittle, S-P-I-T-T-L-E, won't be able to daven properly with proper kavana. And then he tells you at the end, V'holchim al nohar lomar pasuk v'tashlich v'tzul asyom kol chatoseinu, Ashkenazim have a minute to do tashlich and Rosh Hashanah. Furthermore, he says, V'gad no'agim shelo lisho v'yom Rosh Hashanah. Ramah says the minhag is not to sleep in Rosh Hashanah. It's based on Yerushalmi. However, the Poskim point out that the issue really is only in the morning. Because the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that in the morning of Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world, and therefore one should not sleep during the time of Din. But if the person is going to be mevatel himself and waste his time and squander and fritter away his time, so as Chazal comment, the Poskim bring it, that Yoshe Batel Ki Yoshe Nami. Person who is batel, it's as if he's sleeping anyway. But there's no Easter per se. There are some people who are very makbid not to sleep in Rosh Hashanah because of this Ramah. But the later Paskim have noted that one can sleep in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, just that one should not sleep in the morning. Ramah said this is a proper kind of practice. Now let's just examine one or two things with reference to the Simanim. Namely, the Paskim bring that there is a Seder Kedima. And if one has many different types of items that one brings before the family on the table on the night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a Seder Kedima, which means that there is a list, there's an order that one should follow. And of course, the order generally is Shiva Saminim. This is the subject of the big machlokes. At Tzadim, a very makbin, to begin with Shiva Saminim, which is what one should do. Shiva Saminim, I'm talking about the seven species for which Eretz Yisrael is praised, as mentioned yesterday. And the Pasuk says in Chumash, Eretz Chito Sa'ora, Gefen Teino V'Rimon, Eretz Zeshemen Udvash. And somehow, for whatever reason, because Ashkenazim had this fixation with the apple dipped in honey and the niggun that comes with it, that was sung the other night, so they always put that first. Very fascinating. The question is how? Tapuach is not one of the Shiva Saminim. It's not mentioned in the Pasuk in the Chumash. It's not one of the seven items which Eretz Yisrael is praised for. So the answer, of course, is that it's based on another halacha, also in case of Mevarchim, in this year's Masechta, and that is the din that Chaviv Adif. There's an opinion in the Gemara, also discussed in Rishonim, that something which is Chaviv. Chaviv means something which is dear to me, especially if it's a Macintosh apple. I never saw Macintosh apples in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shmuel, they have such apples. Only in Chutz Laretz. Whatever the case is, Chaviv and Shiva Saminim, which one comes first? There's a big machlokes of Rishonim on this matter. If I have this conflict between that which is Chaviv and Shiva Saminim, which one takes precedence? Many Poskim assume that you have to be Makdim Shiva Saminim, that comes first. And as I said, that's Vadim. I'm Makdim about that. And in general, they don't have an apple. So they solve that problem. They do? Yeah. Even though it's not mentioned by Svadik Poskim that I recall, it's mentioned by the Abedron, actually. He's the marker for this, so he's the Svadik Poskim. But it's not mentioned by the Mechaber. Whatever the case is, Rav Shmuel says they have it. But this is a Machlokes of Rishonim. Whether Shiva Saminim Kodem or Chaviv Kodem. I think the Rambam Shita, if I'm not mistaken, is that Chaviv Kodem. That the one that comes first is Chaviv, which is dear to me. So since everyone likes the apple and the honey, so therefore, they go ahead and take that first. That's it. Yeah, yeah. What about?
Amaga H. The order of I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
That's also a din. Now I know what you're referring to. You use Rosh Hashanah, so I'm not so familiar with it. Maybe I have to talk about that, but separately. Good. I hear what you're asking. So we have a machlokes, whether Shiva Saminim comes first, or whether Chavim comes first. Now the question is, when do we do the Simanim? When is this done? Is it done before Amotzi, or is it done after Amotzi? I think most people, a census, maybe I'll take one right now, the Simanim that you do on Rosh Hashanah night, when do you do that here? Those who do it after Hamotzi, raise your hand. Anyone here does it before Hamotzi? Not a soul. Unbelievable. Not one person does it before Hamotzi. And that is, I think the most popular minog is to do it actually after Hamotzi. I also do it after Hamotzi. And the question is, if I do it before Hamotzi, and there is such an opinion, so there's a problem. What problem is there if right after Kiddush, before Amotzi, I go ahead and do the Simonim? What problem is there, halachically? It's a Gemara in Avri Psochim, Tzidin in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Ayin Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos. Namely, what problem am I immediately coming to grips with? Namely, yeah? What was that? No, what's the din of Kiddush Shemakam Suda? What happens to the din of Kiddush Shemakam Suda? There's halacha that the Kiddush has to be connected to the meal. There should not be a hesek between the Kiddush and the meal. The Gemara has a whole sugi about this in Avim Sochim. There are many different opinions, but we pass on the halacha that Kiddush Shemakam Suda, and the Rashbam in Avim Sochim says it's based on the Pasuk. The Rashbam has two opinions on this matter. Whether it's a din in the Kiddush or a din in the Suda, whatever the case is, the Rashbam says, V'karasol HaShabbos Oneg, L'gdosh Hashem Mechubad, that there has to be a connection between the Kiddush and the Suda. The Chatchila should even be in the same room. There are other opinions. I recall being in Chutzaretz about 2 years ago in a shul where the shul was massive. It must have been 500 people davening in the shul. B'liayin Hara Ken Yirbu. And the Rav went ahead and made Kiddush upstairs. And then they went downstairs and had the actual Kiddush itself in the Ulam, in the ballroom of the shul. Of course, I immediately asked the Rav why he did that, and he told me because if he were to wait to go downstairs, not everyone would hear the Kiddush, and also there would be many people would be eating without Kiddush, and he saw me on the opinion that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that Kiddush Makom Suda works even though it's not in the same room, as long as it's in the same building. Once you leave the building, then already you have problems of Kiddush Makom Suda. But those who have the meaning of having Simanim before Amotzi, so what do they do with the issue of Kiddush Makom Suda? And furthermore, what do they do with the bracha achrona? Do they make a bracha achrona? I know actually a number of people who have this practice of having the simanim before Amotzi. So what do they do with the bracha achrona? Let's say they eat fruits, and they're eating fruits obviously before they're going to go ahead and say Amotzi, before a suda that has lechem. So the question is, what do they do? So this is an issue. I'm not going to discuss it right now because it also needs a lot of attention. Yeah. And the answer to that question is raised by the Gerinim. The Mechaber quotes from the Shulchan Aruch. As a matter of fact, you know the Minig Eretz Yisrael, the Mechaber points out Eretz Yisrael, the Minig is not to say Kiddush on Friday night. Only in Chutz Aretz is there such a practice of saying Kiddush on Friday night, but not in Eretz Yisrael. And the question that Zach asked is an excellent question, namely, what about Kiddush and Makom Suda? And what's the answer to that question? Usually, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember already, but in Chutz Aretz they give it to a young child. They give the wine to a young child to drink. But what about the issue of Kiddush Makom Suda? So there's a sheet of the Gaonim, quote about the Mechaber there in Shulchan Aruch, that the Gaonim say, if a person drinks a revius of Yayin, that's considered to be Kiddush Makom Suda. Why do I mention this? Because it's the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in the sixth paragraph, in case of Mevorchim, the Gemara points out in Avlam and Hay. The Gemara says that Yayin has a quality that it's Misit Soyin. Yayin has a quality that it satiates. It's like a Seuda. And therefore, since Yayin is Misit Soya, the Gemara even has a Havamina, that what bracha should one make on wine after one drinks wine? After you drink wine, you should bench. Why should you bench on wine? Because it's as if a person has Seuda. It's Misit Soya. The Gemara in Avri Psochem actually points out that on Erev Pesach, interestingly enough, the Gemara says that there's a distinction whether a person drinks a little wine or drinks a lot of wine. I've often asked, actually, a number of people who have expertise. I have in my shul, in Beit Shemesh, a lot of people who are teetotalers. Teetotalers means they don't drink tea, but they drink the real McCoy. They like to drink, especially the English, in my shul. Do you know what they drink? Not water, not H2O. They drink other types of beverages, which they even use actually for Kiddush, based on the Taz and Shulchan Aruch. But the Gemara says in Avi Pesachim, the Gemara says on an Erev Pesach, where there's not a lot to eat. So the Gemara distinguishes between drinking a little wine and drinking a lot of wine. The Gemara says that if you go ahead and drink a little wine, misitzayi, that a little wine will go ahead and satiate, will fill a person up. Mashiach, if you drink a lot of wine, that will give a person, will whet your appetite, W-H-E-T. Will whet your appetite, so you'll be able to eat more, because the halacha is that on Leil HaSeder, you have to eat matzah, as the Rashbam writes, and Rishonim point out, Navi Tzochim, you have to eat matzah b'teyavon. It has to be eaten with an appetite. It's the mitzvah say to eat matzah on Pesach night. Anyway, I'm calling all this in order to indicate that wine has this quality. Wine is misit soyid. So in answer to your question, Zach, based on the Mechaber, who calls the Shitas HaGereinim, that the Gaonim say, if you drink a Revias Yayin, on Friday night, in Chutz Laaretz, when they make Kiddush, not in Eretz Yisrael, so then that's Kiddush Makom Suda. Rav Soloveitchik, Zuchel Livracha, my Rebbe held, you have to drink two Revias Yayin. One Revias you have to drink, number one for the Kiddush, and another Revias for Makom Suda. He felt you need two Revias Yayin. But the Pesach HaShulchan Aruch is not like that. And the Chabad quotes the Gaonim, if you drink one Revias Yayin, that is considered to be sufficient for Kiddush Makom Suda, and that takes care of that problem. But I'm mentioning it because of the Gemara in Brachas and Avlam and Hay. But the Gemara has a Havamina that on wine one should make Hamotzi because wine has this quality of Misid Sa'id. Okay, continuing here in Tavkuf Pe Gimel with the Simanim of Rosh Hashanah. And as I said, there is a Machloket among the Rishonim which takes precedence. Is it that Tapuach Bidvash, which many have number one on the Simanim on Rosh Hashanah night, and others, however, follow the Shivas Aminim. And this is the Machlokes of Rishonim, where the Shivas Aminim is Adif, or Chaviv is Adif. As I said, the Rambam Sheet, I believe, is that Chaviv Adif, and other Rishonim say that Shivas Aminim is Adif. Now, just in terms of this matter, which, as I said, I'm not going to be marich about, if you do the Simanim, of course, after Havotzi, which is the general, as far as I know, probably the prevailing position that most people have. And again, the question is regarding brachas. And this is Nogea to Maseches Brachas, since we're learning it this year, it's good to talk about it. I mean, the first question is regarding bracha Rishona. And in general, one of the klolim that the Gemara has, quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, that when does one make a bracha in the course of a meal? As you know, the Rishonim know that we make Hamotzi. And by making Hamotzi, what does Hamotzi do? Hamotzi creates the famous reference of a Seuda. It creates actually the misgeret of a suuda. Once a person has a misgeret of a suuda, whatever is included in the meal does not require a separate bracha. Because obviously the bracha of hamotzi, you don't make hamotzi on potatoes. You don't make hamotzi on meat. You don't make hamotzi on chicken. So what does hamotzi do then? The answer is it creates a frame of reference. That's how the Rishonim write. It creates a frame of reference for a meal. And once that frame of reference has been created, then whatever is included in the meal is automatically included in the bracha of hamotzi, with the exception of what's excluded. What do we make a bracha on in the course of a meal? Yeah. Correct. That's what the Gemara calls dvarim havayim shalom achmata suuda. Anything that's not connected to a meal is going to require a separate bracha. And what does it mean, anything not connected to a meal? So the Poskim say that generally that which is connected to a meal is an item that's eaten as a staple item. A staple item meaning that's an item that's eaten for the purpose of yachalta v'savata v'rachta, for the purpose of being yotze k'dei sviya, that you want to be satiated, and based on that satiation, so that's considered to be part of a meal. But something which is not eaten for the purpose of sviya, something which is eaten for the purpose of pleasure, or what we shall call kinuach suda, it's eaten for the purpose of cleaning your palate, so to speak, and doesn't come machmat suda, so that requires a separate bracha. And so now here, that's the question that comes to the fore. I think many people also, those who don't eat Rosh Keves, many people eat fish. Who here eats fish? As one of the Simonim on Rosh Hashanah night. And again, I also want to mention, I mentioned it the other day, but I want to mention it again. There are those who follow only the Shitas HaRambam. There's some school of thought which I heard from my Rebbe, has no basis in halacha. They're my service to only follow what it says in the Rambam. The Rambam does not mention the simonim. So because of that, they don't do the simonim. That, there's no basis in that position. The Mechaber mentions here clearly in Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaber and Rambam, and the Poskim bring it. And one cannot paskin just based on the Rambam. There's no such thing. We have a masoret of how to paskin halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and we follow the Shulchan Aruch, which is accepted throughout the generations, even though it's true at the very outset. Shulchan Aruch met with tremendous resistance. However, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. So now the question is regarding fish. Fish, you would say, certainly is a chelik of a seudah. Many people eat fish on Shabbos. The Gemara says, in Shabbos and elsewhere, the Gemara points out that it was very popular to eat kasa de harsana. Kasa de harsana was some sort of fish, whatever it was. Even though the Mishnah Berurah points out at the beginning of the Shabbos that if a person doesn't like fish, he's not mechuyav to eat fish. Why is that so? We mentioned it yesterday. Because Shabbos la'onig nitna v'lo letzar. A person is not mechuyav to be mitzdar. Not mechuyav to be in pain. And if fish pains you, I mentioned yesterday that I have a few balabatim. I have one balabas that today owns a sushi factory. Sushi is something that I wouldn't touch. I can't deal with it. But to say sushi is very popular. And he has a very good ashkacha as well. Anyway, so fish is considered to be part of the meal. But we're talking about not fish. We're talking about other items that a person would not necessarily eat in the course of the meal, as Eli pointed out. And it's not machmat asuda, and it doesn't come because of sviya, doesn't come because you want to be satiated, so now you require a separate bracha. You require a bracha miyuchedet. Namely, whether it's an adama, that a person, barei pri adama, that a person is going to eat in the middle of a seuda, or an eitz, certainly a person is going to make a bracha on such items. And for that matter, even, for example, I saw the issue, for example, many people I think have carrots, if I'm not mistaken, but they call merin, gezer. Anyone here have carrots as one of the simanim? I'm Rosh Hashanah night, you don't remember. Okay, and so there's a question, do you make a bracha when you eat that carrot? There's a whole discussion among even contemporary poskim. I saw someone show me about a year or two ago in the Tshuva B'Hanhagot, Sefer Rav Moshe Schnornbuch. He's a well-known personality, happens to be a dayan on a bezdin called Bedatz. So he passes actually not to make a bracha on gezer, not to make a bracha on carrots. And again, the issue, even someone asked me regarding Shechiyanu, what does one do regarding Shechiyanu? The Shabruah passes actually that unless you have a pri adama that's found throughout the year, assuming it's not found throughout the year, so then one would make a Shechiyanu even on a pri adama. That's how the Shabruah passes halacha. But regarding our issue, namely a person who eats gezer at the beginning of the Rosh Hashanah night meal, why does he eat it? He eats it with Tarat Siman. So it seems that the proper thing to do is to make a bracha. And that's what the Baal HaTanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That's how he passes in Zalocha, that one should make a bracha. And I also saw others all agree with that position, that one should actually go ahead and make a bracha, and that's what one should do. Now one of the issues which I should just mention to you, which is also very fascinating in and of itself, and since it's related to that which we're talking about, and that's the question of often people, for example, go to weddings or go to smachot, and at those smachot they serve at the very outset of the meal, people have a grapefruit. Why do they eat a grapefruit at the beginning of the meal? It's an appetizer. I don't exactly know the biology of it or the chemistry of it, why it's an appetizer. They claim that the grapefruit diet, you can eat whatever you want, and at the end of the meal, you eat a grapefruit, and essentially, you have no problem. I don't exactly understand that either. But whatever the case is, do you make a bracha on that grapefruit at the beginning of the meal? This is the subject of a big diyun among the poskim. And I had one through Abayim. There was no egg to eat the grapefruit with bread. So he said, take a piece of grapefruit and take bread with it, because that's a suffix to make a bracha on that. What is the nature of that grapefruit? It's supposed to be something which is gorer et ata'ava. Supposed to whet your appetite for the meal. And that's the question. What exactly is the status of that? And that's why, or what is called the person who eats liftan. You make a bracha on it, you not make a bracha on it. This is a whole discussion. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah passes on liftan, you have to make a bracha. But I saw actually quoted a number of years ago, from the Minhagim of the Chafetz Chaim, that when he was older, when he ate liftan, he did not make a bracha on it. question is, why not? Because one would argue that it's not necessarily connected to the meal. I mean, that grapefruit that you eat at the beginning of the meal is to whet the appetite for the meal. But it's not necessarily kashrut l'suda. Whatever the case is, I saw the Chazon Ish, they quoted his name, and the Stifler, they quoted his name as well. They would make a bracha, and the fact that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Sefer HaMinhagim of the Mishnah Berurah not to make a bracha seems to be actually not in sync with what the Mishnah Berurah himself paskins in the Sefer. That he paskins that you do make a bracha. Okay, but anyway, I mention all this because, in general, one of the klalim that one has to figure out is when one is eating these simanim, what exactly, why am I eating them? I mean, is it being eaten as part of the meal, or is it being eaten simply l'ta'anug for only purposes that one would be required to make a bracha, to make an independent kind of bracha? That's more or less the klal that I want to mention, even though there are many pratim here, and hopefully when we come to Ketzim Bevarchim, we'll discuss a lot of the pratim, a lot of the details. I just want to mention one other item with reference to the Hiratzon, or reference to some of the tefillot that people are knowing to say. The Mechaber and the Ramah both mention these tefillot, Hiratzon, etc. She istalku evenu, she tamu sonenu, v'chulu v'chulu. There are three possibilities when to say this Hiratzon. Adi make it before the bracha, or I was once in someone's home on Rosh Hashanah night, they made it between the bracha and the achila. After they said the bracha, then they said Yehi Ratzon, She Yistalku Soneinu, She Yitamu Soneinu, and then they ate. What do you say to that? That seems to be a very difficult position. Why? That's a hefsek. It's a hefsek between the bracha and the achila. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but maybe someone will correct me. There is one group that actually does this. Chabad. Manilot Toeh. Cholot Shavayz Nemakir Etzeh. That Chabad, that's how they know it. Between the bracha and the achila, they say the hiratzon. It's the only group that I know. Most of us either say the hiratzon before the bracha, or we say the hiratzon after the achila, after we ate a particular item, and we say the hiratzon. And the fact of the matter is that I don't think there's any great nafka mina. When I talk about achila, about eating the simanim, I'm talking about bliyah. You have to swallow it. Once you not actually talk before the bliyat simanim, before you eat and swallow the particular item you're having, whether it's merin, whether it's carrots, and once you have bliyah, then it's considered to be achila. Because the Gemara says in brachas again, everything is going to be related to brachas this year. The Gemara daf yudalet. The Gemara points out, mat emet ain atuna bracha. Famous sugyo the Gemara has, mat emet means a person who tastes something. So tasting is not considered to be achila, and therefore does not require a bracha. And many people are nichshol. Some people actually, they put the food in their mouth, and even, for example, on Shabbos morning when you make hamotzi. So what should you do? First you should go ahead and you should eat the hamotzi. You should swallow it before you go ahead and start talking. Beside the fact that Gemara says, "Ema sicha besuda shaviyakim kano leveshet," it's a dim shulchan aruch, it's a mechaber, that you should not talk in the middle of a meal because chas v'shalom, the food might go down the wrong passageway. Instead of going down the food pipe, the gullet, it will go down around the esophagus, it will go down the windpipe. And God forbid, it could be a terrible sakana. But the halacha is first you have to be boleya. First you have to swallow the food, then it's considered to be achila. And the fact of the matter is, there is a Magen Avraham who paskins gavi lechem, and that's what I advise people to do on Shabbos morning or Friday night or Yom Tov, whatever it may be. What you should do is first you should eat the requisite shear, and then subsequently you're in better shape, whether you eat a kezayis, a kebetza, whatever the shear is. I'm not getting into that problem right now. But the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's a chachila, that you should go ahead and do so. So this yihiratzon should be said either before you make the bracha or after the achila, after you finish eating, unless you are a member of Chabad and you follow their particular practices. Whatever the case is, this yihiratzon, someone asked me, do you say the Shem Hashem? Matter of fact, someone yesterday asked me, when I sing Zmiros of Shabbos, do I say the Shem Hashem? And the answer is, my father, Avshalom, that's what he did. And my father, Avshalom, was a very pious Jew. And I follow him, even though he never went to yeshiva a day in his life. But whatever the case is, certainly you can say the Shem Hashem. You should repeat the Shem Hashem many, many times. That's for sure, something which is not proper. However, to say the Shem Hashem, certainly you can, and the same with the Yiratzon. Yiratzon Fanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu, whatever it is, Sheistal Gusoneinu, etc. The issue is just not to repeat it many, many times. And that is the proper practice regarding this particular matter. Okay, since it's 9:15, I will stop. As I indicated, and Mitzvah Hashem will continue. So yourself.